With me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Let's do a Bible study tonight in the good word of God. 1 Timothy chapter number 16. As I mentioned this morning, God has given us a threefold ministry according to the scriptures. And you'll see it over here in our extra building. I call it building number 2 now. And you'll see where it says that our goal and our purpose is, number one, to exalt the Savior. And that means in everything that we do, whatever we're participating in, there should be a motive behind it that we would honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, if we have the opportunity, to evangelize the sinner and reach the lost. And number three, if we have the opportunity to edify the saints of God. Now, we talked this morning about the ministry of reconciliation, being a lighthouse. A church should not have a bunker house mentality, but rather a lighthouse mentality. Our theme for the missions conference is piercing the darkness, and it is sending the light into the darkness. And then also there is the ministry of restoration. That's sort of like an EMS station, that when someone has been injured in the Lord, somebody has, whether it be self-inflicted or others have inflicted it, but they are not where they need to be, and they're going to need you and I to help restore them. Look in 1 Corinthians 16. Now, those two things that we just mentioned have to do with those who do not know the Lord and those who are not right with the Lord. Well, that can't just be the focus of a local New Testament church, because there has to be something in that local New Testament church that is good for those who are saved and who are serving and who want to do the will of God. When you come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, it is not proper that you hear a presentation of the whole service that you must be born again. I think it was Adrian Rogers said that you don't keep telling sheep that they need to become sheep every time they come to a service. Sheep need to have food, and they need to be fed and looked after. And so there is a time for the gospel, and there is a time for the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And then there's time that you and I try to help people to get back on track, especially if they repent and come before the Lord or before your family. You need to be willing and ready to forgive. But you'll notice here in 1 Corinthians 16, let's talk about those of you that are here tonight on Wednesday night. You're regular, you're faithful, you love the Lord, you want to do the will of God, you pray, you read your Bible, you try to leave tracks, you try to witness, you try to be a blessing. What about for you? How is the church to minister to you? Well, let's look in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to give you some things tonight. If you'll take down these notes, and I think you'll find one of them in there that you can get hooked up to. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Look with me, please, in verse number 15. He said, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves. Now notice the phrase here, talking about the third part of the ministry of East River. It says they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Ministry of the saints. And look at verse 17. He said, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. And I want you to underline in your Bible, or highlight it if you have a highlighter. You'll notice in verse number 18, this is the word we're going to look at tonight. And it's the ministry, not of reconciliation, not of restoration, but in verse 18, the ministry of refreshing. The ministry of refreshing. He said in verse 18, for they, talking about Stephanas and his household, have refreshed my spirit and yours. Now turn quickly with me, please, in Romans 15, a few pages back to your left. You're going to need your Bible tonight. Look in Romans 15. We're going to handle this quickly tonight. Chapter 15, verse number 30. Notice it says again here, in Romans 15, verse number 30. Don't you like being refreshed? Don't you like coming to church and leave refreshed? The Bible says in Romans 15, verse 30, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake," there's the motive, "and for the love of the Spirit," that's the means, "that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me," that's the preacher asking for prayer, "that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service for which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints." Now watch. "That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be," what's the next word? "Refreshed." It's a Bible word. What does it mean? I asked Brother Johnny a question this morning. What does reconcile mean? He was fixing to stand up and answer it for me. It was a rhetorical question. I didn't want him to answer it. So I'm not going to ask him to define refreshing, because he may stand up and define it for us tonight. But that word refresh, it means to lighten someone's load. It means to revive their spirit. It means to renew their strength. It means to relieve them from their weariness, their depression, their distress, and their fatigue. Now, you won't be able to do all of that inside these four walls. You understand? That's going to have to take place also on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, Friday and Saturday. You may find out about it here. You might be able to do some of it here. But you're going to have to understand God has brought us together to minister one to another and put us in the ministry of refreshing. It also means strengthening one another, edifying one another. Let me ask you, young folks, I'll be honest with you, I like this. I like it when I'm out doing something and somebody brings me some refreshments. I like it when I'm hot and I'm tired and I'm sweating. Sometimes when Brother Kenneth, Elsie and I have the opportunity to play golf, and it's been extremely hot this past week, and we had before he went to Bolivia, he wanted to go play, so we went and played, and man, it was so hot. It was 97 degrees one afternoon. You say, well, that's not smart. I didn't say it was smart. I said it was hot. Man, I stopped at that water cooler they had outside, you know, along the course, poured some cold water in there and just poured it on my head and got my shirt soaking wet. It was so hot. And when we got about halfway, you play 18 holes, you play 9 holes, there's a place up there where they sell refreshments. And so we went in and sat in the air conditioning and got something to drink and something to eat and refreshed ourselves before we went back out in the heat again. I like refreshments. My wife always has things around the house that are refreshing for us. Good things, though. Healthy things for us, and I appreciate that. But here's the thing about it. Physically, we like it. Physically, we need it. But oh, spiritually, mentally, psychologically, emotionally, we need refreshing. And the church is to minister one to another daily and weekly. As often as the opportunity comes, we're to do it. You'll find the first place right here in chapter 15, verse number 32. He's referring to the public assembly. You need to be here in order to get refreshed. You need to be here as often as possible. One of the services is going to do something for you. In some of those services, you're going to do something for us. Sometimes it's just refreshing to see you walk in the door, shake your hand, talk to you for just a minute. Because we made it, really, do we get to sit and talk? You know, we don't. And so we see each other for a few minutes, but what a blessing it is when a brother or sister walks in here and you just get to shake their hand or hug their neck and see that they're doing okay. And notice here, he says, in verse number 32, that I may come unto you with joy. And he's talking about coming together in the church with joy. Now, if you're going to refresh us, you need to come with just a little bit of joy when you walk in that door. You say, well, yeah, but Brother Roger, I'm the one that needs refreshing. Understood that. Understood. But occasionally, you be the one that comes in with joy and you refresh us. Amen? And so when he says with joy, by the will of God, he said that may with you be refreshed. Now he's talking about some of the adversity that he has faced and some of the attitudes of the people that he has to deal with. And he said, it's wearing me out. He said, I need you to pray for me that I might come to you with joy by the will of God. And I have prayed that God would help me each week that I stand, regardless of what I personally am going through, regardless of what I'm going through. I have asked God to help me not to bring that into this pulpit, but to bring and have a fresh drink of water for you, even if I am thirsty in my own soul. I can at home be very thirsty and still take a pitcher full of cool water and pour it in the cup for someone else. I don't have to always be on the top of my game for God to be able to use me in my infirmities or in my weaknesses or in my times of discouragement and depression. I'm going to do my very best. Put on my poker face and you'll never know what's going on inside of my heart. But there'll be times you'll still be able to tell. And you'll still be able to see it. But I don't want it to happen very often. And I want to be able to get in this pulpit with the joy of the Lord, for it is our strength. And I want to be an example to you that you, when you come here, that it can be refreshing. And when you come in that door, that I can shake your hand and honestly look in your eyes and say with sincerity, it sure is good to see you, brother. And I think we should do that to each other. Now, quickly, look at Acts 27, verse 3. You say, well, I don't do well in public places. Well, a lot of people don't. Did you know that's one of the top fears in the world, that people sometimes would rather die than get up and say something publicly? The death was down the list compared to speaking to an audience. Acts 27. Maybe it's publicly you don't do well. Maybe you don't. Maybe you do better in private, in refreshing someone. All right? Let's look at this. Look at Acts 27 and look in verse number 1. And when it was determined that we should sail unto Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into the ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. Now watch what's happened now. Paul has been in prison. He's let him find a little favor with the centurion, Julius. Verse 3, and the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Now Julius recognized that there was something about Paul that was unique, because later on when they go through a storm and the ship's about to break apart and the men want to kill all the prisoners, for Paul's sake, Julius said, no, we're not doing this. And you'll find here he says he sees something about this man. And he says, you know what? I'm going to give you a little bit of freedom and liberty. And he said, I want you to be able to go and to sit with your friends, because he believed that if he could sit down with some of his good, godly friends, that he would come back refreshed. Do you understand the importance of that? Here we're not talking about a public assembly. We're talking about you having someone into your private circle as your friend, as your family, and even if you don't want to get real close to them. Some people don't want anybody inside their inner circle. I understand that. Jesus had 120, and then he had 70, and then he had 12, and then he had 3, and then he had 1. But hey, those, you got a tight circle, draw a bigger circle. And then draw another big circle. You don't have to let everybody into your very personal life. But it doesn't mean you cannot have them in your life to encourage them. Now, here's the thing about this. Private fellowship should be a time of refreshing. Not a time of discouragement. Not a time to sow seeds of discord or doubt. Not a time to gossip, but a time to literally focus on something that's going to be positive, productive, and good for the people that are sitting at your table. If some of you ladies get together, may it be a time of refreshing. If some of you men get together, let it be a time of refreshing. Here's what the Bible says. It says that heaviness in the heart maketh it stoop. And if you see a brother that's heavy in his heart, the Bible says a good word maketh it glad. Sometimes God will put upon your heart and say, you know what, we need to have brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so and their family over for a meal. You don't have to have them over for a meal to solve all of their problems. You could have them over for a meal and even another family over to your house. You know, that is called hospitality. And say, you know what? We just want to be an encouragement to you. Let you know we appreciate you and we love you and we're praying for you. And you don't have to go into all the details of anything. I don't think Paul had time to tell them of all of his issues, but the Bible says he went to his friends. You have any friends? He said, oh, Brother Roger, I don't have any friends. Have you ever thought about being a friend? Did you know to have friends? The Bible says you're to initiate showing yourself to be friendly. You initiate it. You say, well, that church's not very friendly. I beg to differ on that too. This church is very friendly, but you've got to let them be friendly. Not only that, you're going to have to initiate being a friend and being friendly. But you need to have some good friends. Do you have anybody you can call up and talk to and be refreshed when you get off the phone? Have you got anybody that you can do something with for a day or two and leave refreshed and encouraged and strengthened? There are conversations that you have with people that can make you feel like you need to take a bath when you get through talking with them because you feel grieved inside. A whisperer separates chief friends. I don't want to know all the bad things about everybody. This is to encourage you and refresh you. That's what this is about. Always, at all times, use your private conversations to give somebody help and somebody hope, because he went there for that purpose. That's why Jesus said, hey, when he told them to wash one another's feet, it wasn't because they couldn't wash their own feet. It's because they needed refreshing and encouraging. Everyone in here needs strengthening from time to time. Everybody in here is under a load. Everybody in here has their own family, physical, financial, spiritual issues, some more than others. If it's not public that you're refreshed, hopefully you are. I hope you can leave each service and say, I got something there. And if, even if you did not get something out of the preaching, I hope and pray that these good people, that somebody got around you and encouraged you and strengthened you and said and gave you a good word. And maybe when you spend some time together alone with somebody, that you can be a blessing. You know what? I would like for people who are around me to say when they leave, I'd like to go back and see him again. But you know, you got to realize you got to leave in order for him to miss you, right? You can't overstay it. But I would like to come to your place and not feel like I got in a spider web, but feel like I went and got a drink of water. You understand that, right? And so I hope and pray that you will refresh one another, encourage one another. There's something else. Look in the book of Philemon. We heard Brother Brian teach on this Wednesday night. But let me show you something here that's real important that will refresh the church. Look in the book of Philemon. You'll find it right before the book of Hebrews. That whole book right there is about the subject of restoration. I talked about it this morning. Matter of fact, there was regeneration, or should I say reconciliation, that took place. This boy got saved, and now he's being restored to his master. And so forgiveness has to take place. But here's the third thing I want to mention to you where you can refresh the church. And that is when you have the opportunity to resolve a personal conflict. A personal conflict. You'll notice in verse number 20, he said this. Now, Paul is encouraging him to please reconcile with this young man who has been born again, Onesimus. He's asking Philemon, would you forgive him? Would you put it on my account? And verse 20, he says, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. You ever heard that phrase? Man, it's something, just get that, something is gnawing at you inside. Or it can really be refreshing. There's something inside of us. The Bible refers to it as bowels. He's not talking about your physical intestine as much as he is. Dwelling in there is your soul and your feelings that run deep. And when people are in conflict, it creates tension down inside of your stomach. You ever get knots in your stomach? I mean nervous inside. Tension inside because there is conflict between you or someone else, or you know that there's tension and conflict between a couple of brothers or sisters in the church or families in the church, and it just completely eats at you on the inside. It is what takes the life out of pastors is when there is conflict, because it discourages the saints and it divides the troops when there is conflict. And so what he is saying here is how refreshing it is when you hear they got it fixed, that they forgave each other. And they may not be best friends, but they're not enemies anymore. And they've quit talking about each other. And they're not trying to get people to take their sides anymore. And now the church can focus on the ministry once again. Men do this. I think it was Paul and Barnabas had a serious falling out over John Mark. It got so sharp that Paul went one way, Barnabas went the other way. That could not have been good and healthy for the church or for either one of those men. Later on, John Mark is restored, and Paul is encouraged and refreshed by John Mark. But who is it that restored John Mark? It wasn't Paul. It was Barnabas, the son of consolation. My point being is that men have fallen out. But the number one group in churches that have issues are women. Women. This is why, turn over with me please to the book of Philippians. Turn over here. Philippians. You know what makes me nervous as a pastor? Well, I wonder I hadn't had a nervous breakdown. Now I've had a heart attack. Maybe that counts. The stress, the doctor said, you had a heart attack because of stress. I said, I thought it was just life. He said, you're under too much stress. I said, really? I said, man, I just thought it was just regular living. He said, no. He said, what do you do for a living? I said, I pastor. He said, you're under a whole lot of stress. I said, yes, I am. I guess I am. You said I was. He said, I'm going to write you after we do all this work on you, I'm going to write you a prescription. You need to go fishing more. And you need to go golfing more. But you know what I have found out? That when there's conflict between people in the church, I don't care if I'm fishing or if I'm hunting or if I'm golfing, there is no peace. My mind is in another place. And I don't care if I catch a record flounder. It doesn't do anything for what's gnawing at me on the inside about conflict. You know why? Because when there's conflict, a little thing can become a big thing. A little thing can become a big thing. That is why it is so refreshing when people decide that they will not be selfish, but instead they will choose the mind of Christ. Here, look in the book of Philippians. I think I asked you to turn there. I can't remember which book now that I got sidetracked there by my own preaching. Look in Philippians chapter number 4. You'll notice, how would you like, let's see here. Look in Philippians chapter number 4. Now listen, ladies, you love your husbands, you love your children. God's made you more emotional than us men for a reason. You're like a bear when somebody touches your cubs. You got to realize, however, that those are opportunities. Opportunities for you to exercise how much you have grown in the Lord and for you to exercise some charity and some maturity on how to resolve conflicts and how to forgive and move forward. If you don't, then you're going to get bitter and you're going to want people to join your side. You're going to want to tell your story. And you're going to wind up hurting. How would you like if you were on a ship and somebody was drilling a hole in the bottom of the boat? That's exactly what you're doing to this boat. Now, it may not take on water fast, but it'll take on water. It'll take on water. And so here's what he says in Philippians chapter number 4. And I got a church bulletin here for a reason. Philippians 4. Look in verse number 2. Paul's writing a letter to this church. He said, I beseech Eudaeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Well, we're reading this about 2,000 years later. So next Sunday, what I'm going to have Christy do is put your name and the lady that you're having issues with in the bulletin and say, hey, get it fixed for the church's sake. And it would be refreshing to know that you did. The Bible says here, look what he says in verse 2. I beseech you, Eudaeus, and it says that they be of the same mind in the Lord. We read a verse this morning. Remember, Jesus Christ died for you, therefore do not live unto yourself, but rather live unto the Lord. And so I encourage you, you want to refresh the church? Resolve your personal conflicts. These are opportunities. Don't let it become an obstacle. It's an opportunity to reflect your maturity and your growth and your charity. Can you imagine a young man exercising for months and months and months and months, and now he's developing? You know, I mean, he's really a hunk, you know? I mean, he's like the Hulk. But nobody ever gives him the opportunity to use or flex or use his strength. We had a man in our church in Franklin. He was proud of his strength. We had a lady that needed a refrigerator moved. I said, I know who we can challenge. I said, you ask, his name was Brother Danny. I said, you ask Brother Danny, can you pick up a refrigerator? I knew when they said that. He said, I'll be right over. We didn't have to worry about it. Now here's my point. You've been praying. You've been asking God to use you. You've been asking to grow. You've been asking to be like Christ. Well, you got to have opportunities. You got to have opportunities. If there was an accident out there, and we needed you to be able to be like Hulk and pick up the edge of a car to get somebody out from under it, man, we would. You'd say, yeah, I finally got a chance to show my stuff. Okay. When there is conflict, you now have the opportunity to show your stuff. And I don't mean your flesh. I'm talking about your growth. You're praying and asking God to use you. Where does He use you? He uses you in the places where you need grace, where you need Holy Ghost power, where you need the love of God to express charity and to show forgiveness. How refreshing it is to find out that two sisters worked it out without getting anybody else involved. What a blessing it is when two men work things out without getting everybody else involved. Personal conflicts are resolved. It brings great joy to the assembly. All right, well, y'all like that one? Let's move on to the next one. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Verse number 16. Here's what I need you to do. If you want to refresh, the ministry of refreshing, it is when you resolve your conflict with a brother or sister, and the church knows there's tension between you. Boy, I tell you what, it sure does help. Sure helps me. It adds a little bit of life to me. You don't know how many hours at night I stay awake concerned about conflicts. Been doing it for 46 years. I've lost a lot of sleep over the years. If I didn't care, I'd go to bed and fall asleep in a heartbeat. But it's like Brother Mike Flick. He called me the other day and he was wanting some counsel about dealing with a brother in his church. And Brother Mike's under some serious physical infirmities. His heart is giving him some serious issues, his nerves. I said, Brother, the reason why you're going through this is because you care about your congregation. I said, I know how that feels. And so when you refuse these things, you impact the leadership of this congregation. And that's why Paul said, for my sake, would you forgive him? For my sake, would you forgive him for Christ's sake? I'm asking you, would you forgive her for Christ's sake? And would you forgive her for my sake? And would you forgive her for the church's sake? Would you do that? You wish you had at the judgment seat. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, look at verse 16. Now here's what you need to do. You say, well, I don't have a problem with anybody. Well, you say, I've never had a problem with anybody. Well, you probably don't do much with anybody. I'm just kidding. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Here's what he said. Now you got to look out for opportunities to refresh somebody. Look at verse 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. And we're not ashamed of my chain, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. How about that? This is a man that was looking for an opportunity and looking for someone to be a blessing to. You got to look and you got to listen. You got to pay attention. You don't have to get into their business, but you look for opportunities to be a blessing. This week, I saw an example of that. Brother Mark Emerson looks out after some of our senior saints. He called around on some of the men to check on them. Thank you, Brother Mark, for caring and checking. I appreciate you. He called Brother Walker just to check on him. Brother Walker was not going to tell anybody about this. He's like that. He's a man of integrity and character. He lives on a very small income. And he went to get some gas in Conroe, where he always gets gas. And someone put a skimmer on the gas pump. And he used his debit card. And they got his information. And they wiped out his bank account. Brother Mark found out about it. He called me. He said, "Brother, this is what's happened. Brother Dick did not call me. I called him. That's a man seeking out. That's a man looking for opportunities. That's a man caring about someone else." I said, "Brother, we're going to help him." He said, "Well, I want to add some to it." And so he gave an offering this morning. The church gave him an offering. And we gave Brother Walker a good offering this morning to replace his money. Matter of fact, we doubled his money. How about that? Y'all like that? That's refreshing, isn't it? To find out there's a church that gives more than it takes? How about that? I love givers. And I'm saying that Brother Walker's always very thankful for that. He was not looking for that. You understand? It's refreshing to look for things out. And the Bible says that God is not forgetful. He will not forget your work of righteousness when you minister to the saints of God. I remember when Cindy's mother, Virginia Oliver, who was a member of this assembly for years, we kept her at our home, and as the months before she was about to pass away, a few weeks before she passed away, there were certain songs that would encourage her. There's something about singing that will refresh the soul. By the way, if you can sing well, it can be refreshing. Brother Gary Brown and Sister Carrie Brown and their two girls came to our house while Cindy's mother was laying there in her bed, not far from crossing over, and they sang around her bed, and you could see her eyes, you could see her spirit being refreshed by them, but they had to seek that out and find that out in order to do it. It was refreshing, not only for her, but it was refreshing for my wife. And because it was refreshing for her, it was refreshing to me. And if you want to refresh me, refresh her. Refresh that young man, my son, my girls, my grandchildren. You understand? If I want to be a blessing to Brother Brad, I can be a blessing to Ty. I promise you, it fits. Doesn't it, Sister Stephanie? If I want to be a blessing to you and Brother Travis, I can be a blessing to that young lady. It works that way. You seek it out. You say, I didn't know. If I'd have known. Well, sometimes you got to find out. You got to look for things and opportunities to comfort people. I want to close with this verse. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10. Talking about when you come to church, it's more than just hearing preaching, learning about the Bible. It's got to be put into shoe leather. And we are to refresh one another. I enjoy. There have been a lot of times that I've been down in spirit, but I didn't let you know. But when I got here, just being around you, lifted my spirit. And when I left here, I was in much better shape than when I got here. 1 Peter, look in chapter 4, verse number 10. You got to understand, God wants to use you. Verse 10 says, as every man hath received the gift, in other words, God's given you something. God gave it to you. Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. For some of us, it will be our speaking that will refresh you. Our speaking will refresh you. Our spiritual gift is that of public speaking and giving you out the good word of God that goes into your heart. I thought Brother Brent Doss did a good job this morning in Sunday school. I thought his lesson about Joseph being like Christ, I thought it was refreshing. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, there it is. Let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. And you just got to find out what you can do and be a blessing to other people. Whatever it is, singing, teaching, helping, singing, cleaning a house, cooking a meal, whatever it is that God's given you the ability to do. There's one thing that I have noticed around here. When I go to some other churches, I hear some of the preachers say, I can't get anybody to do anything around here. And I think about you. And I thank God 10,000 times for you. Because you asked me and I hadn't got a whole lot of things for you to do because everybody else is doing something. Isn't that a wonderful problem to have? You come and say, I want to serve. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help. And I said, okay, I'm about to make up something, but I'm going to find something for you to do. Now, I'm just kidding about that part. I'm not making up work for you. But I thank God for you. This is why, if our church stays focused on the ministry of reconciliation, get engaged and involved in reaching out to the lost, stay involved in the ministry of restoration, of helping those who have fallen, help them to find their way back. And then if somebody else's family finds their way back, forgive them and help them to continue on. Rejoice with them. And then the ministry of refreshing, whether it be public service like this, a private fellowship over a cup of coffee, where you can leave encouraged. I look forward to my personal conversations with you men. When you come to my house or I meet you somewhere with it for a cup of coffee, I look forward to that. I leave encouraged. When I hear that people resolve their personal conflicts, great peace comes into my heart and I am refreshed. When I hear of you looking and seeking out opportunities to be a blessing, I am refreshed. I am the recipient of that sometimes. And I am encouraged and refreshed when I see you serving at the assembly, both privately and publicly. It's called the ministry of refreshing. Are you a part of it? I hope and pray that you are. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. I want to take care of some business before you leave tonight. But at this moment, I'd ask that you bow your head and you would ask the Lord at this time. And maybe you'd like to come to the altar and say, God, I do want to be a fresh drink of water. Lord, I do want to be a blessing. Lord, help me to find that opportunity in that place. Father in heaven, we love you and we need you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. Their heads bowed. If you need to come, would you please come right now? Would you please?